Podcast 102, Thrive the Movie Review. Sponsored by my buddies at PantryParadis.com. They sell food preservation tools. Produce, prepare, preserve your own harvest.
This podcast is going to cover different things. Now, in the past, I've always kind of thought that as anybody talks about any kind of world problem or this big ugly thing and that big ugly thing, and really what we really need is safety, it's like all roads lead to a combination of permaculture and homesteading. And so then as you try to think about the energy crises or the collapse of this or the collapse of that, safety comes at the end of the road. It all ends up in the same place. So I've been always thinking this, but this thing has really been, it sums it up very clearly, and it justifies a lot of my thinking, I think, although it also brings concern to me about things I haven't had concern about. And you are just itching to say something.
I am. This is Jocelyn with Paul on another podcast. This podcast makes me nervous.
Oh, yeah. Makes me nervous, too. I was, 'cause we...
The topic of it. Not doing a podcast with you, but the, well...
Different
maybe
kind of nervous?
I should. Yeah, maybe I should.
Driving away your friends and family. If you want to drive away your friends and family, come to a podcast with Paul Wheaton.
No, the topic and the subject of this podcast makes me nervous. It has a lot of out there stuff in it, and it's very politically loaded, and we usually try to avoid politics and some of these kind of topics that are embedded in what we're going to talk about today.
Well, in a way, I believe that what we're going to talk about today is actually, I mean, I've got that same concern. Oh, politics. But really, what it all boils down to is the message is apolitical. The message is that politics is silly, and it makes a very what we just witnessed makes a very compelling argument that basically in a way it says okay, politics is going to fuck up your shit, but at the same time, it's really meant to be a circus. It's there to control you and at the same time distract you from what's really going on, and right there I kind of revealed it. What's really going on? And we don't really know what's really going on, but
right. And this movie did not make it crystal clear for me. I have to admit that. So what we're dancing around, not saying what this podcast is about, is you and I just watched the movie Thrive together.
Right. And you and I also just recently examined that book by, is it Derek Jensen? Is that the author?
There were two, the author and the illustrator, because it's a graphic
book. The graphic micro book, As the World Burns, 50 Simple Things You Can Do to Stay in Denial.
Yeah.
So, and so just popping up to that book real quick, I checked that book out from the library like 2 or 3 years ago. Wow. Yeah, a long time ago, maybe even 4 years ago. It was a long time. No, 3 years ago. It was about 3 years ago. And I only read about a third of the way into the book thinking, this is actually kind of funny and kind of cool. It actually mentions permaculture in the book. And it's like on the first page it says, it's got one little girl saying, I'm saving the world because I bought light bulbs that are full of toxic gick. And the other little girl is like, okay, so you think that by spending money and making rich people rich that you're saving the world? You really think that? So it was the book was really amazing in that respect. But I elected to not finish reading it because I was living in the community at the time, and I left the book out, and somebody else read it, and they immediately came to me and said, we have to go out today and blow up the Federal Reserve. And it's kind of like, no, we don't. So he got all mad at me because I wouldn't get all on board with him to go out and blow up the it's like, no, I'm not doing that. I got other things to do.
Yeah.
And
his attitude got bizarre. But
And it, and it seems like it came from the book, which after finishing reading the book, I didn't exactly get that message. I'm not sure where he got that message.
His youth, his passion for making the world a better place somehow got a little misdirected, I think. But getting back, so we watched the movie Thrive. I've read part of the book you just mentioned, that little graphic novel. And part of what these are both saying, just in real general terms, is that money, well, and it's very similar to the Occupy Wall Street movements that have recently happened. And, is that money and corporations drive our world and are creating not very sustainable systems. And the answer is to create your own sustainable systems and support systems that are sustainable.
Right.
In a very weak nutshell. I didn't explain it very well.
Well, of course, you know, the reality is probably a thousand or a million times more complicated than what we just watched. And there you tried to sum it all up. You tried to sum up a two-hour movie in, like, you know, under a minute.
Yeah.
So, there's going to be a it's going to be a richer thing. Yeah.
Right, right.
But it does seem like stuff that I typically don't want to talk about or examine or whatever. And at the same time, after watching it, it's kind of like, okay, you know what? Let's go ahead and make the podcast. And we know some people that would love to make the podcast because they're the ones that persuaded us to watch this. And I kind of feel like they would be, I think we're going to have a much more critical look at it.
Right.
And so rather than invite them to do the podcast with us, I think it'll just be me and you, and we'll just convey our not that far down the road feelings on it.
Well, the other topics that are tied into this, that this really dovetails with or overlaps with, are Jack Spirko's group and their survival. A lot of their goals for doing, you know, learning about a survival or a homesteading lifestyle are tied in with what this movie and the book talk about. They can overlap.
Yeah.
Transition Town movements are definitely about this kind of thing. Someone I met through my transition group mentioned Chris Martinson in his Crash Course YouTube videos, where he talks about the Federal Reserve and our economic systems and our energy systems and our peak mineral systems, and he goes into a lot of detail about that. So this ties into a lot of that, but it is solutions oriented, and I think permaculture is solutions oriented. And I know that's what you've been trying to do is put out bricks.
True. And now, with this show, I think from the beginning I want to make it very clear that I don't endorse this show. I'm not going to say that I believe that what they said was true. However, I do appreciate that the way that they presented their information was very much like this is one or two individuals who made a very good, I mean, they did a very good job of the movie. I mean, they clearly spared no expense. I mean, they probably spent millions making this movie. It was very well done, a lot of good imagery, a lot of good special effects, a lot of good stuff. And the thing I like is that the main guy kept saying that I believe, you know, and which I'm thinking that guy just totally qualified what he's saying.
Right.
As opposed to, like, most of the stuff that we're fed, it's like, here's the facts. These are
right.
The facts.
Right.
Anybody who says any different, I have to give him a whooping.
Right. Right. Well, in the part, I wrote that down in my notes. There was one part where he actually says, could I be wrong? Yes. And I thought, you know, and I looked at you at that point, and I thought, well, you know, that almost makes him more believable. What my first impression of him in the trailer and in the beginning of the movie is he looked like a slick infomercial salesman to me. You know, no offense to Foster Gamble, but,
right.
You know, that's his name. And
did he sell anything?
No, they are promoting their website quite a bit, and they want to create an electronic community to help change the world.
Right.
So, could be considered a level of promotion. But, yeah, the movie is not about selling things. It's about sharing information, and he came anyway. He went through step by step what he, you know, starting with energy is what he spent a big part of the film on. Didn't he start with energy?
Well, yeah, he had a laundry list of things.
Uh-huh.
That it seems like a big part of what he was doing with the movie is like, here's all the stuff that I just need to express.
Uh-huh.
And he tried to put it into an order.
Uh-huh.
But and for each one of the things that he needed to express, he did seem to have pretty good information to back him up. And so you know, there, for some of the stuff, you do got to get out your tinfoil hat. I mean, literally. I mean, we're talking about the chemtrails. We're talking about extraterrestrials. We're talking about,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's kind of like, yeah, you put on your tinfoil hat to keep the bad guys out. Now, granted, during the movie, the guy was not wearing a tinfoil hat. He probably kept it right off stage there or something. But
well, what I appreciated about it is the way he talked about it was, you know, here's where I started, and here's what I started looking at, and this led me down this road, and then I found out A, B, C, and D, and these are the conclusions I drew. So it really unfolded naturally as a story and as a believable path. The other thing, now the extraterrestrial part, this is linked into a way of knowing how to have free, renewable, unlimited energy. And he felt he had some evidence of some scientists who were finding this and experimenting with these generators. One of them, I'm trying to look, a direct current generator called a dynamo that pulled electricity out of the air. That device was taken in a government raid. And he had example after example of those kind of things. And he thinks that some of this technology was explained to us by extraterrestrials. And that part of it is strange. However, there are a lot of things that are unexplained. And what I wanted to say, sorry, that I appreciated about it is we've watched Food Matters, we've watched a lot of different movies about alternative health, alternative food, you know, Jeff Lawton's movies, different movies together, and he brought in, and some of the people talking about food issues and food health, I didn't think they were very believable, even in a polished movie. When he brought in these people talking about extraterrestrials, and he brought in person after person after person, and I was surprised that they didn't all strike me as crazy. They actually were very believable. And I think that's why he brought in person after person after person, because that is probably one of the weirdest parts of this film.
The extraterrestrial part is definitely the very weirdest part.
Yeah.
And I got to say that before I watched the movie, I thought that the possibility of extraterrestrials existing anywhere and being here somewhere was about 4%. So, you know, really probably just science fiction. After watching this, I'm thinking more along the lines of 27%. And I gotta add in something which I probably shouldn't admit in the middle of a podcast. When I was 10 years old, I saw two UFOs.
And I'm going to use the definition of UFO. Like, I didn't know unidentified flying object. They were flying objects, and I sure as hell couldn't identify them. And
they weren't weather balloons.
They were both something that does not fit into my understanding of anything. Even today, I cannot understand what they are, except for things that, you know, have been reported in science fiction.
I never knew that about you, Paul.
So when I was 10, on one occasion, I was walking home. I was in the woods, and I saw something that looked oval-shaped. So it's oval-shaped to me, so it looked like it could be a flying, but it was like you could, it was, there was clear sky behind it, but it was as if I could see through it, which doesn't make sense. And there was, and it was just light. It was like a blip of light, stationary, holding perfectly still, and this is in the Seattle area, over the an area in Seattle. It's perfectly still. And there is, and if I had to guess today by looking at it and about as far away as it was, because it was an object that I could see through, it looked like it was probably about 100 feet across, maybe 150 feet across. And it could have been a saucer, and I was just looking at it from the side. But I could see through it, and it was just like it didn't have any definite anything to it. It was like a glowy thing, and it had a beam of light coming straight down out of it, which you know, and this is broad daylight. This is the middle of the day on a sunny day, and then the light underneath it just clicked off, and then the thing moved away. It started moving like instantly, like there was no like, oh, we're gonna put it in first gear and warm up kind of a thing, and it, whoop, there it went, and it moved at a speed that is faster than airplanes. So that was the first one, and the second one was probably about 4 months later, and it was like the middle of the night, and I couldn't sleep, and I looked out the window, and I saw a round white ball. Now, this thing that I saw, the first one I saw was kind of a yellowish-orangish color, and then the one that I saw months later was just a white ball that just simply moved across the sky faster than any kind of airplane could move across the sky. And it was just a round white ball.
Weird.
And it was moving very smoothly. It wasn't erratic. It wasn't like a natural phenomenon that might be like, you know, a falling star or anything.
Which
like
would
that.
Kind of have more of a fuzzy movement to it a little bit.
Yeah. This had a very clear border. All right, so there you go.
Okay.
There's my UFO
okay.
thing. And maybe this could be explained through something else.
Well, that's funny that you bring that up, because some people in my transition group wanted to do a group showing of Thrive, and I mentioned that to you, and I'm usually careful about, because of my business in doing accounting for small businesses, I'm kind of careful about what I post about in different places and on the internet, and you actually advised me not to kind of put my name on a group showing of this movie, Thrive, because of the extraterrestrial element, didn't you?
I did. It's true. I mean, plus, you know, another thing is like they make a big deal out of people who share this information and suddenly die, you know, and so I kind of think that, like, well, so A, if the movie Thrive is suddenly not available anymore, then, you know, doesn't it kind of validate the things that they're saying? But the fact that it's still available, I don't know, maybe they're considered small potatoes or something, and, like, no one really is watching it, so therefore they'll allow it to exist.
Right.
But I do think that it's possible that if you were to put this out there that things could have happened, and at the same time, it's kind of like, I think that without conveying a bigger message, there's a lot of nutty stuff in here. And,
yeah.
And they cover part of that, too, like how our own society has been effectively trained –
Right.
To say all the nuts must go. We do not allow. So they said rather than having it say, oh, big banks come down and tell you what to think, it's like, no, your own mother tells you what to think.
Right. And so they started with the energy piece and how they feel a lot of that technology is linked and was given to us by extraterrestrials. But regardless of where it's come from, where that knowledge has come from, whether we just had an advanced ancient civilization that wasn't extraterrestrials or whatever you want to think of it, or whether we just should be able to have this technology now or not, he presented evidence that renewable, basically free energy has been hidden. It keeps getting buried. And the reason he said it keeps getting buried, and he had a scientist say this, I forget which of the scientists it was, is that this free energy cannot be metered.
Right. Oh, yeah. Nobody can make money off of it.
Yeah. So, oh, here it is. I wrote that down. Stephen Greer, who is with the Disclosure Project. And the Disclosure Project has to do with extraterrestrials. But he also had several different scientists. I wrote down all their names. But his website also said he had all of the backup research for everything that was presented as a fact in the movie, so you could research more there. But he started with energy, and he walked through all these different things that are being controlled right now, and energy's controlled, food is controlled, education and healthcare, especially when the education is controlled, that's how. You were talking about, you know, you can't be anything but normal. If you're outside of this normal,
right?
Then that's where your own mother comes in and says, hey, you can't do that. You can't think that.
You can't wear overalls.
or you can't.
Oh, wait, we're talking about that's your mom.
You can't use a composting toilet. Nobody does that.
Right.
You know, you can't capture your own water, you know, and use rainwater. You can't grow your own food.
You know, with the composting toilet thing, I'll bet you that it would be totally acceptable to everybody in the United States as soon as there's an advertising campaign from on the television from people selling the composting toilets.
Right, but that's right. But yeah, that's part of the issue. And about anyway.
All right. So yes. I guess the key is that there's a lot of things that make no sense. And I think that the whole extraterrestrial thing, the whole, you know, men from outer space thing, that whole thing is like they had to introduce it at one point and then they kind of set it aside. That was like it was more to support the energy thing
right.
than anything else. And then they kind of like let it go after that.
Right.
And then they brought in some of the other pieces around that later, but it wasn't really, so that part is like, you could totally ignore that part and get the rest of the stuff out of the movie.
True.
But the one great thing about the movie is that there's a lot of things where it just seems stupid. Why is it that way? Why do they do it that way? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why are all of these things this way that just seem so wrong? And at least one thing that this movie does is it provides an entirely plausible explanation for everything. And it's like, and it does. It suddenly everything makes sense. Why do they do it that way when it seems so stupid and backwards? Oh, now it makes sense.
Right. He walks through how mostly these elite families control the energy, the food, the education, and the health care. And once they control that, they make even more money. And so, you know, we think we have government on top, some of us, you know, ruled by the people, for the people. And they present a different type of pyramid that, you know, the Occupy Wall Street movement has been trying to present. And so he walks through that, yes, we have all these individuals at the base of a pyramid of control. And then we have some government on top of that But then we have the corporatocracy on top of the government, ruling the government. And then there's three different levels of banks on top of the the corporations. And then the financial elite control the banks, even the World Bank, and even in the health, you know, the healthcare portion that they talk about, they even control the world, you know, the WHO, World Healthcare Organization.
So basically, a lot of the movie wasn't so much, it was kind of like saying, you know, out of the 99% of the 1%, those are just stooges. So it seems like this was really focusing on like the 0.0001%, the 1% of the 1% of the 1%.
Yeah.
And then I thought one of the more brilliant parts is where they started talking about, okay, you would think that it's like, okay, if it's going to be this great big conspiracy, then you know, how is it that so many people can be in on a big conspiracy? And it's like, well, of course they're not. You know, it's like, how is it that you got police at the the Occupy Wall Street, where there was that woman standing outside the bank, who's like, I can't get into my bank, I want to close my account. And so then the cops grabbed her and put her inside. Oh, so like the cops are in on it, are in on the big conspiracy. No, they're not. They've been told, you got to do your job or you're going to get fired, and you're going to have a hard time getting a job now.
And just for those that didn't see that video, you're talking about somebody captured on their cell phone video where people were protesting at a bank and they felt it was out of control, so everyone inside the bank was getting arrested. And this woman standing outside the bank just wanted to do normal banking, and the police pushed her inside with the group that was all getting arrested.
Well, she wanted
right.
to close her account because she was
okay.
convinced that it was wrong to have her account there.
Yeah, too. Yeah, okay.
And so, but she was outside. And so they're like, hey, no problem. We'll fix you right up.
Yeah.
We'll grab you and shove you indoors and
right.
relock the doors.
Right. And then they arrested everyone inside. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll, you know, she could be part of the roundup kind
yeah.
of a thing.
Right. So I just wanted to explain that for those who weren't familiar with that
right.
video you saw. But yeah, so they had, I've heard other Permi folks appreciate a lot of Vandana Shiva's work and a lot of her activism and message, and they had her in this film talking about the control of food and how it's controlled with GMOs, patenting seeds, and the free trade treaties.
Yeah.
And that's something that's beyond me, but...
It's beyond me, too. And a lot of this is stuff I don't want to really think about.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, like, you know, by watching the movie, you know, there's a lot... They throw out a lot of information, and they have a lot of support for their philosophies, and they present their philosophies as philosophies. You know, this is what we think is going on, as opposed to saying, this is the truth. Everybody be afraid, be scared to death. There is some stuff which would line up with one political agenda or another, but in the end, I mean, I like it at the very end, they said this actually fits in with, you know, the liberal agenda and then the conservative agenda.
There's stages for
then,
fixing things.
And then the libertarian agenda.
Right.
And
yeah, that's the stages they're recommending to go
right.
through to fix this mess. So, yeah, I don't know that we really...
Well, I thought the good message was is that while the mission of the bad guys right now
uh-huh.
was to try harder than ever to divide people and to find ways of dividing people, whether you're dividing them based upon politics or the home team or whatever, but to try and divide people.
Well,
And then the message at the end for the people putting on the movie was to try and bring people together. You know, it turns out you all want the exact same thing.
Right.
And so come together.
Well, I think it was a little more complicated than that. They were saying that... the National Education Association is also controlled by the elite. And did they start calling them the Illuminati at the end too?
Well, they said that they have like there's like a bunch of different names.
Yeah. Well, so they said the National Education Association is controlled by them and the AMA, which you know, approves our doctors and regulates our doctors.
Well, and for some of the cures for cancer, it's the AMA that says those are quacks.
Right, right.
And it turns out that no, they actually have the right thing. They actually have the solution. But it's like the rich people aren't going to get rich if there's somebody that comes out and says you can cure your cancer by eating grapefruit. And,
right.
You know, then,
right. Well, and with our education system, what they were trying to say with that is we're indoctrinating our populace for 12, 13 years to follow orders and toe the line and learn the history a certain way and just get indoctrinated. So we have this group normal is what they think public education is doing and what some of that goal is. And so that we follow orders, obey, all of that kind of thing. So it's not a divisive thing as much as it's more, they presented it almost like a brainwashing thing. And then at the end, what he's talking about is the solution that we are individuals and more free, but because we're more free, we may end up grouping together in a different, healthier way. So we'd, at the same time, the irony at the end would be that we'd be more free and more individual and yet more of a cohesive and healthy group and healthier communities too. So it's, anyway.
All right. So we took a lot of notes. I made a long list. I usually don't write down any notes. But they started off talking about the torus, which is basically something that's shaped like a donut, and it kind of moves from the inside to the outside, and it kind of rotates in this donut pattern.
And they explained how the weather patterns around the Earth move this way. They move from the top of the poles towards the equator and then back up again, and that how the gases around the sun move that way, and that this is just a common, how atoms move that way, the energy in atoms.
So a lot of permaculture is about patterns,
mm-hmm.
and then this guy was basically saying, let's, you know, they're finding the pattern in like damn near everything. And I kind of wonder if Toby Hemingway, I know he's working on a new book about patterns. I wonder if this is going to be like one of his things. Well,
the Taurus. But yeah, this was the basis for the energy, and they kind of linked this with the extraterrestrial and all the free energy stuff. Yes.
So then they started moving into the whole thing about zero point energy. And that's where, I don't know if, at no point in time do they say perpetual motion machine, because of course we've all been trained at the moment we hear that phrase to think snake oil salesman. I mean, you know, it's the equivalent. It's modern day snake oil salesman. Even though these perpetual motion machine guys, well, no, actually the perpetual motion machine guys, they do look for money. They look for people to, hey, fund my research, get it on the ground floor. But anyway, I don't know if that's what it is or not. But the big thing is, oh, and I saw a thing on Reddit where it was somebody was saying that by the fall of 2012 that they're going to have zero-point energy contraptions that you can stick in your home and go off-grid with these. But and I suppose that, like, according to so what we saw in the movie was is that every time somebody had one of these, they would mysteriously stop doing it or die. And a lot of them, a lot of people died. So,
right. I thought we already talked about the energy stuff.
Well, I'm trying to go down my list here because that led to the extraterrestrial stuff.
Right, which we talked about.
Which then tied back into it again. And that included the crop circles.
Okay.
Then they started talking a lot about Tesla.
Right.
And how Tesla was doing this And he was doing a lot of stuff in this space. And then it was one of the big guys, because it's like for the big banker guys, there's like basically three families.
Yeah, they talked about.
So there's the Morgans and the
Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Talked about Behind Everything.
And one other.
And I keep forgetting the third name too. Anyway, yeah.
So anyway, so basically Tesla's research was being financed by the Morgans, who were also in the copper industry. And so then when Morgan found out that Tesla's stuff was going to make it so you could send electricity from point A to point B without any copper wires, then he shut Tesla down.
He pulled out the financing. The financing pulled out, and then his lab was burned down.
Yeah, and that seemed to be a common theme, burning down the lab. Like that one gal who was interviewed on this, then her thing is that she was like running the Department of something or other, HUD or something for the federal government, and then she was like...
prosecuted for 10 years.
She was a whistleblower. She was blowing the whistle on all the corruption going on, and then she found her business was raided, wiped out, and like they took everything to the FBI, and then it was a 10-year long lawsuit, which she ended up winning, but you know, just being in a 10-year long lawsuit wipes you out.
Oh, yeah.
And so it seems like this, you know, this kind of destruction is really rather common.
Mm-hmm.
So then they had a guy that they were interviewing who was trying to continue Tesla's work, Trombley, and he actually presented his contraption for zero-point energy.
Right, that was the direct current generator that he was calling the Dynamo. And his device was the one that was taken in a government raid.
Yeah, and then basically it seems like he was persuaded, don't do that.
Uh-huh.
And which I suppose going along with don't do that is better than dying.
Uh-huh.
Because it seems like that's you know, a lot of these guys.
Yeah, Eugene Malov, I forget how that was pronounced, he was beaten to death. John Bedini was attacked and warned to stop. John Hutchinson was raided in 78, 89, and 2000. Those were just the ones I wrote down. There may have been a couple more.
So then it went from there into this whole green revolution thing. And by green revolution, they're talking about the birth of chem-ag. So, the chemical-based agriculture. And it turns out that all these big players in chem-ag are owned by the same three families.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, I mean, these three families own all that. This keeps happening over and over and over again. And then the direction they seem to always be wanting to go to keeps being about the same, according to this movie.
Well, and then they mentioned that 88% of the agriculture subsidies go to the top 20% of the farms. Which
right.
Also considered.
Right. The subsidy programs are really designed for the big, big farms and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then I thought it was a really, really good point, because I've just been this guy that just really does not like Bill Gates. And then it's like, oh, but he gives all this money to the Bill Gates Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And then the foundation goes out and does great stuff. Oh, does it really? And it's kind of like the foundation seems to be involved in, like, you know, doing a lot of this stuff in the name of hearts, flowers, and rainbows. And so during the movie, they didn't talk about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but they did talk about these great big banks and their foundations. And it's basically the same three families and their they've set up these foundations. Oh, look at us, we're giving money away. And it's like, no, here's how it goes. And I thought it was really funny. It's like, anyway, so they've got all these foundations that supposedly do all this nonprofit humanitarian work, but in reality, it's like, not. It sounds awful and horrible and ugly. But between these two things, between the three families, either directly or through their foundations, they're now in control of education, agriculture, healthcare, and energy.
Right.
And so then these are, and then later he has like this thing of like, okay, let's approach this whole thing from another angle, which is like, okay, like let's suppose you want to have world domination. How would you go about that? And so then he's listing off all these different ways. And then he's also, you can also see little grayed out unchecked check boxes that show things like alternative health care, which they don't have control of, but they're trying to get control of.
Right.
Then there was talk about cancer and viruses. There was like some guy that...
Dr. Rife.
Right. So then he came out with this solution, and what happened to him?
I don't remember what happened to him. He had a resonance device that killed cancer, and I think that device was taken or something.
I think he had a lab fire. Yeah, it's a common theme, laboratory fire.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Dude, your shit's on fire.
Right.
And then there was a woman who kind of tried to do something similar, and
well, and then so the other gal, the narrator of the movie is Foster Gamble. His wife talked about the cancer issue because that was near and dear to her, and she listed off these alternative cancer doctors, but they all used either a traditional native remedy or herbal remedies or food remedies, and they've been presented as quacks by the AMA because you can't patent and make money off of their remedies.
Right, and it seems like they'll go to a lot of trouble to make them sound like quacks, like,
right.
Like that person's crazy.
Right, right.
You know, I've got a lot of a phrase that they used over and over again that I thought was really good was debt slaves. So throughout this, it's like the idea is to get you into debt, and then you're going to go out and be a very productive member of society and productive by their terms,
right.
Help produce for them because you got to pay off your debts.
Right, and that was launched into their big explanation of what the Federal Reserve is, and that the Federal Reserve is a private bank. It's an independent agency. It is not an arm of the government. It just holds money and creates a currency for the United States, but that it's a separate entity. And they showed Greenspan saying that the Federal Reserve can't take orders. It does not take orders from anybody. I forget the exact quote.
Yeah. With no one regulates the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve does whatever the hell they want.
And it basically talked about how money is loaned into existence, both with the Federal Reserve and with our banking systems, and how, all this money is just created by entering numbers in the computer, that money was loaned to someone at the bank.
Yeah, it went into a lot of the history of how that came to be, which was interesting.
Yeah.
So I thought a big one that they mentioned was that because the Internet is being a thorn in their sides, there's a lot of interest in gaining control of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they talk about that very briefly. I mean, I know that on Reddit, that's talked about a lot.
Right.
And I generally skip over a lot of it because I kind of figure, like, it's probably going to happen. So I don't know. Maybe no one will be able to hear this podcast eventually because,
Right. Well, they quoted a couple authors that might be worth mentioning because it kept going back to them in the discussions about, well, this is kind of pre the discussions about the Internet, more about the Federal Reserve and our economic industries. He kept quoting David Icke, spelled I-C-K-E, who wrote The Biggest Secret, and John Perkins, who wrote Confessions of an Economic Hitman. But anyway, yeah, moving into the Internet stuff, he also talked about a couple other conspiracy theory things.
That guy there, I remember in the movie that they were interviewing him on,
John Perkins.
Democracy Now, yeah, John
uh-huh.
Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, like, okay, here's what we would do. It sounds like he was talking from the perspective of, I mean, I didn't quite catch this. Like, he worked
with the World Trade Organization or something like that, and then, or the IMF or something. And then the idea was is that they would then show up to a country and say, hi, we're going to loan you $100 billion to get your shit together. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this $100 billion of funny money. We're going to bring in our buddies from Halliburton and whatnot. We're going to give it to them to build stuff that you don't need.
Right.
And then you owe us $100 billion.
Right.
With interest.
Right.
And so basically it's like
It was kind of a subversive way to collapse their economy and render them, you know, create money for American corporations and render this poor country a debt slave, the whole country, and just collapse them, basically. Yeah. Yeah, so that's why he was calling it Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Yeah. But then the internet and that, and that's not conspiracy theory. There has been legislation to try and,
yeah, just in the last week or two.
Right. So that's not theoretical, but I was kind of lumping that in with, you know, they talked about a couple other things, other things that they thought, you know, phew, we'd go to some massive trying to control things that are kind of out there.
Well, yeah, and a big part of it is there was one thing in there that I had never heard of before, and that was where they were putting some sort of RFID chip inside of people without their consent, and they showed images of people that were like protesting this, you know, stop chipping against consent, you know.
Right.
Now I do know that for a while there was something about like there's RFID things, very very low amplitude transmitters that are put into most commercial clothing. It's like woven in, and they say that they put it in there. This is something that they didn't talk about in the movie. This is something that I heard about years ago, but it makes sense. And basically, that it's just originally it was designed to make it so that way. They said so that way when you try to steal stuff, it sets off the alarm as you try and steal it. But actually, what it is like if your underwear has a little number in it, then you can be tracked.
That's sad. Now that sounds conspiracy theory to me. That's hard to believe. But really?
All of this is hard. What, the Martians part is not hard to believe?
That is too. We're talking about
the tinfoil hat stuff here, okay?
It is.
Welcome to the Tinfoil Hat Podcast.
That's it.
All right. So
that's
we're
what it should be called.
Now here's my thinking. I think it's utterly true. I think it's not a conspiracy. I think that right now each of us is probably wearing clothes that has two or three RFID low-level transmitters in it. And I think that if somebody were to focus on us, and a great way to focus on us is at the doors of a building, then you can get the numbers of people coming and going from a building. And, you know, and so if you're looking for somebody in particular, you can find out more easily where they are. And
They did mention that with our lovely Homeland Security, we do have our government tracking every email, every phone call.
They did mention that, and they're saving them all. They're not just tracking them.
Right.
They're saving all your phone calls, all your emails. They're saving all of it.
In the name of Homeland Security.
In the name of, yeah. You know, and then there was another one that was on Reddit not long ago where it was that they are setting up stuff on the freeways and a few other places to monitor all license plates. And so then, you know, it's just a totally visual thing. And so then it's like, so that way wherever you go, they'll know. And then as the network expands, they'll be able to know more about you more and more and more.
Right.
All right. Moving right along.
we already talked about how society, they talk about how they are effectively training society to punish those people who deviate from the norm. And it was just recently that was in the news about the government has passed some kind of thing, and I don't really know about it. I try to ignore it, but this tidbit managed to find its way through my filters. Something about if you keep more than 7 days' worth of food, you qualify as a terrorist, and then you can then be therefore put into a cell somewhere without representation. You can be permanently detained.
Right, and tortured if you're determined a terrorist. Yeah,
something like
that's
that.
Right.
I don't fully understand it, and so it's kind of like wow. It's really happening. Just the idea that this happened in legislation just recently,
right?
Combined with that whole thing that was like a year or two back about like whether or not you will be taxed based on what your garden produced. So like if your garden produced $100 worth of food, you got to count that as $100 worth of income.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so now this tinfoil hat stuff doesn't seem so crazy.
Right. So what they went into, as a precursor to the solutions was that they thought we had a lot of false flag operations. And what they meant by that was basically the Vietnam War was started based on a falsehood of some kind. And then, going into Iraq, there weren't weapons of mass destruction. That's not what that war was about. And then there were conspiracy theories about 9/11, that wasn't, so they mentioned a bunch of that kind of stuff. And they also mentioned how they thought there was eugenics that have been happening and experiments on people in different populations, and that some things that were under the auspices of moth spraying or vaccinations or were really meant to kill people, and that they've developed spermicidal GMO corn.
Yeah. it's that, and then the thing that they, I think that the way they pointed it out was, is that they've done research. They came up with a corn that contained a spermicidal agent, and it's kind of like, why did they come up? Why did they even try? Why did they even fiddle with it unless they have some kind of idea like, hey, you know what? Somebody somewhere with a lot of money said, hey, you know what'd be great? As if all those people who ate corn became sterile.
Yeah. So this stuff was pretty out there, conspiracy theory stuff. But what I'm not sure if you're ready to move there yet, but what he was trying to finish it up by saying, okay, here's what's wrong. Here are some solutions. And he really felt that a liberty perspective, a non-violation focus was the solution.
Okay, before we get into the solution,
yes,
I want to convey something about detainment camps.
Ooh.
So they mentioned that in passing. Look at this map full of map tax. This is where all the detainment camps are.
Ah.
And I remember about 4 years ago, I was sitting down at a meal with a bunch of people, and somebody said, have you seen these detainment camps that they've built that are like down by Puyallup, Washington? And what? And it says they are big enough to hold over 100,000 people. No way. Oh, yeah, and that's just one. That's just one site. There's others. I mean, they're like, no one's allowed in, and it doesn't show up on your, Google Maps stuff, and it's like, super secret and stuff like that, and they're empty. It's like, who are they
planning on putting in those. And this was like at a time when, you know, people were talking about elections or whatever, and you know, it's like, well, maybe they're gonna, anybody who votes a certain way, they'll put them in there or what. It's kind of like so basically they're saying, notice how everything's kind of moving closer and closer and closer to a martial law sort of thing,
a police state,
and it's like, how can you have a police state unless you have a place to put all those people? And so they're just getting ready.
Weird.
And it's like, so it's kind of like this whole idea of like, I'm having a hard time believing that one. I mean, it would be so massive. Surely there'd be some news on it, but then it's kind of like, oh, right, our news is kind of controlled, isn't it?
Right. Well, and I think, didn't he show a chart in the movie of how just 10, 20 years ago we had 50 different news agencies that are now down to 5 or something that own all the different news.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you know, another problem. And that gets down to your solutions. Now we're on to your solutions. And it did seem to me like basically he was saying that this one concept should be like the prime directive or something. Like this should be the central thing for all existence on the planet.
Right. And
so read it again.
Right. The liberty perspective, a non-violation way of operating, you know, so that nobody is violated. Nobody. I mean, and he went into some more details about it. You know, we've done a lot of killing in the name of the greater good. And he was saying that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit in a non-violation liberty perspective. So, and this is the area where after this guy has talked about conspiracy theories and extraterrestrials and things like that, I was ready for him to really kind of lay on thick this woo-woo, you know, if we all operate from our heart, it'll
sign up
fix,
for my church.
It'll fix all the world's ills. And I was pleasantly surprised he did not lay it on thick like that. It was very practical and pragmatic, really. And I could read, you know, and then he had Paul Hawken come in and talk about all the nonprofits, how we have hope because we have all of these people working for a better world. And so he was saying the non-violation it fits in alignment with non-violent non-participation non-violent demonstration like Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. He had nine things that we could each do to make a difference. And they're really, some of them are a bit political, but pretty much they're practical. Are we ready to list those, or is there something else you wanted to say about his?
Well, I wrote down, I didn't write them all down. I wrote down a few, but before we get into that, I do know that at one point before that in the movie, there was a woman there, I think she was from India.
Vandana Shiva.
And so she was talking
about... I'm sorry, I get her name wrong. Sorry.
And she was talking about freedom zones.
Yes.
And so then basically
yes.
they had set up these places where they drew a line in the soil, and they said, and these are like county-sized lines. Like, that was my impression. Like, it wasn't just a town. It was like a whole county. And they said, these are freedom zones. No GMOs. No chemical fertilizers. No, you know, petroleum chemical stuff. You know, and they probably made a list, but GMOs was the big one.
Right, and the freedom was not so much just for the health of the people, but the health of the environment, the health of the insects and all the animal life that's needed, and I didn't recognize that she also said no chemicals, but, you know, if you're keeping that part of the equation out too, that affects things in other economic ways as well as just the health of the people.
So it was written on a sign,
right,
or something on when they were showing,
yeah,
the pictures.
Yeah. So and it was, she, you know, had the wisdom to, in the comprehensive viewpoint, to see that it affected a lot more than just personal health. But then, you know, people could save their own seeds and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the whole, because in a lot of countries now, it is against the law to save your own seeds. You have to buy your seeds every year from authorized sellers, which includes the GMO stuff. You know, and so it's like, so it's whereas before, you would save your seeds every year, you know, and,
yeah,
and so there's all of these really messed up things that are going on. And so by declaring these freedom zones, then they're basically saying, in this area, this is the way we're going to live our lives, and we're not going, we do not subject ourselves to that wickedness.
Yeah, I have to admit that inspired a really radical, crazy dream. I would love to make my hometown a GMO freedom zone. But can you imagine, there'd be nothing left in the grocery store?
Well, some grocery stores. But see, that's a big part of why I'm drawn to Missoula, too. Is it's like, I think Missoula has a lot more interest as a town or even as a county in having organic stuff. I mean, the per capita on average, kind of a thing. Granted, there's still Safeways. There's more Safeways and Albertsons and stuff like that in Missoula County than there are the good food store. There's one good food store, but there are a couple of other little organic places. But I think overall, we got. But you know, right now, people who are concerned about buying organic are still a big time in the minority.
Yeah.
And so, but the idea of having, like, let's say an area that's as big as a county, like let's say that there's something like Johnson County someplace, and it says, you know, hey, in our county, we don't allow any GMOs, and we don't allow any, you know, we're basically all about the organic. And, you know, so inside of our county lines, no one's allowed to spray Roundup on anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
yeah,
against the law.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, the air would be cleaner, the water would be cleaner. And they could just say, we have these values. It's kind of, I think Iceland, you know, an island country, has laws like that. And so,
yeah,
just imagine how clean it would be,
right,
to go to a place like that or to get your food from a place like that. So,
yeah, it's inspiring. That's a great example.
I thought that was a very cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now there's a list of things. I just wrote down the ones that I liked.
Well, the first one was bank locally, and they brought the gal back on who was
the second one.
Oh, it wasn't? What was the first one?
The first one was network, and I think that's what permies.com is all about.
Oh, I missed
that one. Maybe
that's
why I wrote that one down.
Because
I wrote down the bank locally thing, too. But that,
wow,
came after the network thing.
Did I doze off?
Boy, I mean, I think the network thing is the most important. I mean, basically,
yeah,
it's kind of like step one, stop treating crazy people like they're crazy because they might not be crazy. The tinfoil hat people just turns out they might be right. And so I think, you know, rather than immediately dismissing a lot of, I mean, that's a big part of it, is like a bunch of fucking crazy people, and, you know, you can't trust the word. We should lock them up for our own safety, because that's going to be the message that's going to be presented to us. Oh, remember that crazy person? He's gone now. They came and got him and took him away to the funny farm,
well,
where they, you know, neutered him and then shot him, you know, for our safety.
Yeah. Well, I think I told you when I first met you, I used to hang out in alternative circles due to work and education things. I was involved with some alternative healthcare and some alternative education models, and there were a lot of real hippy-dippy people in those circles. And I kind of got tired of it after a while. and then I met you and learned about permaculture, and I was inspired to dip my toe back in with with the tinfoil hat people again.
Yeah. I'm not a tinfoil hat person.
You're not. And so that made it okay. And yet, you know, there's any time somebody seems kind of extreme, we were talking about this earlier, I like the idea of sometimes people being extreme enough that they're breaking boundaries and they're swinging the pendulum and helping people be more open-minded. So sometimes it takes the tinfoil hat people to wake us up a little bit and not that I'm going to become a conspiracy theorist advocate anytime soon, and yet I think the more we hear about some of these different things from more people, the more we can start finding solutions for creating a better way.
See, I kind of feel like, I in a way, I feel the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But the same, I suppose. But I kind of feel like it doesn't matter what the tinfoil hat people say, because the solution is always the same. And basically, this is what they mentioned in their collection of solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it turns out to be permaculture plus homesteading is the solution.
Yeah.
You know, and so then it's like you just focus on the solution, and then all those problems go away.
Mm-hmm.
And which seem to be kind of what they're saying. It's like, you know, if you just start defunding them, they eventually get smaller and go away.
Right.
And I thought that was, you know, really
right.
So it's kind of like it doesn't matter whether. So either if you want to, you can go and say it's because of the Federal Reserve that I do permaculture. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. On the other hand, it's like, okay, I do permaculture because I wish to improve my safety from, it seems like there's something crazy going on over there. And so if I improve my safety over here, then I'm not worried about them as much.
Right.
I've got, you know, enough food planted to feed myself and three other people. I have clean water. I'm self-propelled power-wise. I've got layers of good protection from different kinds of threat-y things. I have a good network in my neighborhood.
Right.
So you've improved your safety by an order of magnitude or two. And if things go sour in a variety of different ways, you're probably going to be safer than others.
Right. So they talked about banking locally, which has been a big movement with Occupy Wall Street thing, but they brought the gal from the HUD back on and had her talk about doing local money market funds or local investing, and there's another term for this I can't remember. Larry Santoyo came in as an instructor at my PDC with Toby Hemingway, and he had a great example of, it was like community investing, where this group invested in someone's beekeeping business, and they were so invested in it, not just money wise but in their community and helping this guy succeed, that, you know, one of the investors was at some hardware store where they actually sold honey and a few food items, and then he said, you should carry this honey from down the road, it's the best honey ever. And so, you know, not only was he an investor, but he became basically a sales rep for that little business too. And so they were talking about banking locally, and then they talked about buying and investing responsibly, which, you know, that's putting your money where your mouth is. And I think that's hard for a lot of people. And there's still so many big company and unsustainable things that are cheaper than the more sustainable choices or the more responsible choices, that it's, I think that's a hard one for a lot of people to do.
Keep the internet open.
Yes. Before that was end the Federal Reserve, which that's a tall order.
Yeah.
I don't want to touch that one.
Well, yeah. I'll leave that to people I don't know, different than us, I guess.
Yeah, and along with keeping the internet open is supporting independent media. And this is something he didn't go into there, but something I'd heard about somewhere else, I can't remember where, but Canada, European countries, even Eastern Bloc countries, they have far more public funding for their independent media than America does. So our public broadcasting stations, our NPR stations are, you know, they really need individual supporters because they have hardly any government support, comparatively.
So I you know, when it comes to supporting independent media, I'm kind of thinking like, okay, go to Reddit. Some people go
Even more alternative and independent. Yeah.
Some people go to the BBC. I've heard of people recently going to Al Jazeera, you know.
Right.
And so there's, I mean, basically go to these other media sources. And on Reddit, there's been a lot of stuff of like, oh, here's the cover of Newsweek as it appears in Europe. Here's the cover of Newsweek in South America. Here's the cover of Newsweek in all these different places. And here's the cover of Newsweek, and they're all the same. They're all identical. And here's the cover of Newsweek in the United States. So everywhere else but the United States, it's like this war thing.
Hardcore news.
This, you know, yeah, it's news, you know. And the cover of America was something like, you know, does chocolate taste good?
Yeah,
you know,
with something fluffy.
With something, yeah, useless.
Yeah.
So I just kind of think that when it says support independent media, I'm thinking like, yeah, stop getting it from these places which are really not about telling you what you're looking for.
They're about entertainment.
The days of Walter Cronkite are gone. And so now you're going to go find that information from somebody else.
Right. Good point. And then they talked about supporting organic and non-GMO foods.
Vote with your fork.
Yeah, exactly. Enough said on that. And, oh, they also said support election and campaign finance reform.
Make your vote count. I just think that the, you know, as far as campaign finance reform goes, I don't know about that, but I think that the big thing is just, I just want to know that my vote was actually counted, and there are ways to do that. And we talked about that in the previous podcast.
Right. And they talked about advocating renewable energy. And that sounds like that's a tough one because, you know, we still have the oil companies running so much and the big families.
See, now I got to talk about the zero-point energy, the thing that they talked about in the movie. I mean, as talk about it as if it's a plausible, real thing.
Right.
So that way, when people actually come out with it, they're not crazy screwballs that need to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you know, let's be on the lookout for and support this concept of zero-point energy. And so, I mean, you think about it. If you've got, like, a thing that sits in your basement and runs and generates all the power to run your house, like more than, like all the heat, all the hot whatever, and then basically it's like you buy this contraption for probably $1,000, and then it just sits there and generates all the power that you need, and it doesn't use anything.
Yeah, it's not based on combustion. It's a type of electricity not based on combustion.
And so you get unlimited electricity,
yeah.
Then, I mean, that'd be a good thing, right?
Yeah.
You know? And so basically,
yeah.
it just seems like it's something where we're trained to say, that's not possible. We're trained mm-hmm. to say, that's crazy talk,
mm-hmm.
and that person should be locked up. That person's a shyster.
Right.
And so what they're trying to say, what I think the message there was, let's have an open mind here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and the last item I wrote down, unless I missed one again, was to have critical mass actions. And this was very open-ended, but he was basically talking about, you know, en masse, a million people demonstrating in the street about what they want, or better yet, 10 million people, critical mass actions. And it wouldn't have to be literally in the street. I mean, he was a big proponent of the electronic, you know, the electronic communities and using you know.
I think Reddit is a big driving force in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Reddit does shape the news a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so massive.
So then he wrapped up really with the three stages that he was envisioning how, and this got a little on the woo-woo side because he was showing these communities just looking all utopia.
Right.
But he even said, you know, I'm not presenting something that's total utopia. I do think this can happen. But he talked about the three stages, and these are what you mentioned, where the first stage was more like a liberal democratic stage, where you take the current systems and you improve them. Basically take a lot of the money you're funneling into wars and funnel those into environmental and social improvements. And he's like, it wouldn't take hardly any money to fix some of our social and environmental ills compared to what we've been spending on war.
Yeah, I think he said something like there was some sort of research that was done and it came back and it said, for $200 billion you can feed everybody in the world and cure almost all of the things that the social, cure almost all the things that the environmentalists want, kind of a thing.
Right.
For $200 billion. And compare that to, like, did the war in Iraq go over $1 trillion?
I have no idea. Sorry.
And so $200 billion is what we pay for oil subsidies every year.
Oh, Lord. So the second thing he said was more of a conservative agenda, where you just shrink the government. You just, you know, you don't have to have, if you've solved hunger for people and you've solved a bunch of issues, and you don't need government. It was his theory, or I don't know if they were that related or not.
But I didn't quite get that part.
Shrink the government, and then
I think government has a function.
Yeah.
It's to protect us from bad guys.
Right.
But right now they kind of seem to be the servants of the bad guys, which is kind of awkward.
Yeah. And then the third stage after you've, you know, solved hunger basically and shrunk the government was people are freer and more unified. They're freer, more individual, and yet they're more unified because they're healthy and thriving, and, you know, it was more of a libertarian type situation where you just have people who don't have to work as hard. They can have a more stable home life and economic life. They can have more stable economies and more useful work and not have to work as long. And so this was, you know, and he said, I know this sounds like a utopia, but he thought it could happen. So, yeah, I'm with you that I didn't quite get stage two, but anyway, he this is the part that was probably the shortest part of the film, is the solutions. But I did appreciate that he didn't go in and talk about too much woo-woo stuff or too much, you know, well, if we all love one another. He did mention that he felt, you know, some of this is based in really living with our true north or our true sense of what we should be doing in the world. He mentioned bit of that. And then he thought, you know, people are basically a Taurus, and if you're getting more aligned with the true center of this energy field that is you, that all of this stuff will fall into place. So that would... But
your path, I read into it that when you get yourself all lined up and your Taurus is going good, then your path will become clear,
right.
And it will seem right. And I was kind of hearing a lot of, like, you know, independent thought is of greater value,
right,
than being suckered by the shysters.
Right, right. It was a real pragmatic and just, you know, it worked. It worked to kind of sum up where things were going and how individuals can make a difference.
So summing up overall from all the stuff that we just saw and we just talked about, I would have to say that I do recommend that people go and watch this show. And I think you have to go and Google for – I Googled for Thrive Movie in order to find it. You had to pay $5. So we paid $5 to watch it.
Or I've heard that you can get a group together and pay $20 for a group showing. So if you had more than five people, it might be worth it to do it.
They hand out tinfoil hats as you arrive for the showing.
Right.
I do think that there's a lot to be said for having an open mind. And I think that a lot of the stuff that we advocate is stuff that people think is tinfoil hat stuff. So the stuff like hookah culture, when we talk about hookah culture, it seems obvious and plain. And other people are going to point at it and say, tinfoil hats.
Right. Well, and I think this movie was a more digestible version. The way it unfolded and way, you know, way he walked through all the different elements, it was the more digestible, except for the few portions, like the extraterrestrial stuff, it was more digestible than Chris Martinson's Crash series. His YouTube series was really pretty technical, and I don't remember a lot of specifics from that. So this wasn't quite as technical and full of graphs as something like that. So it just is a comparison.
All right. And so I'm going to suggest that people watch the show. I think that there's important stuff.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just see it. If nothing else, go ahead and think of it as a big gob of fiction, if you want.
Sure.
But I think just to have seen it, I think it's good to just have this bit of knowledge in your head that somebody told this story. Mm-hmm. Well, collection of stories.
Right.
And then you've seen it, and then I think it can then be used as a mental tool for when you're trying to figure things out. And then the other thing is, we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, as the book, As the World Burns, 50 simple things you can do to stay in denial. I'm not sure I want to recommend that people go read that, but it was a cute little book. I read it all the way to the end, and it's a mixture of fiction and nonfiction. And so it does talk a lot about how, it does kind of paint a very political picture, but it's also talking about, so it paints a very political picture about how things are. Basically, aliens, well, you know, there's aliens in that one too. Aliens come from far away, and they poop out bricks of gold, which the politicians will do anything the aliens say to get their poop. and then, of course, there's a bunch of bad guys in it who are, you know, willing to do inappropriate things and hurt people in order to get money, and that's how we end up where we are now with a lot of things. And then, of course, then we're fed stupid little things like, you know, go out and buy fluorescent light bulbs, and that's going to save the world. And it basically makes a very good case of, like, what you think that buying fluorescent light bulbs is going to save the world. So let's see if we can figure. So they, like, this one little girl does the math and proves that it's like, okay, now let's go and do all the things. You know, you come up with your 50 things, and if we go and do all 50 things, and if everybody in the planet did all 50 things, then would that save the world? No, we're still fucked. and so it basically, and they mention permaculture in the book, and it's like, okay, so permaculture is one of the things, and it's like, you know, no, rather than trying to make things 10% better overall, which is, you know, all those things add up to about 10% improvement overall, let's talk about 90% improvement. And it's like, you know, a lot of the waste that we have has to do with some poor choices, a collection, not just one poor choice, but a really massive collection of poor choices. And then I think as you move from eco level 1 to eco level 5, then you start about eco level 5, you've probably cut your overall consumption by 70 or 80%, and it turned out to be not that hard. And it's kind of probably surprising. I think a lot of people are going to be shocked when they find out when their electric bill goes from an average of $200 a month down to an average of like $35 a month. You know, it's like, wow, how did that happen? And then it's like we're living our lives almost identically to before, but our power. Well, anyway, all right. So
there's that book. Anything else to add on to all of this?
No. When we first talked about doing this podcast, we talked about our concerns, and of course, this could be something discussed at Permies a little bit more, or not. Do we
probably
have to be careful?
Probably not. Yeah. I mean, this is a... Yeah, this is something where we debated whether we were going to do this podcast at all.
Yeah.
And yet there's a lot of information here, but it's not exactly the building the bricks for a better world. This is more of a kind of making people aware of why we want to build bricks. So this is, I don't think this is a brick. This podcast is not a brick. What do you think?
Well, it depends on how you view what a brick is. I mean,
what have we built?
What
have we given people instructions on how to build?
Well, I think if you're understanding more of how the world works, you know, we've burst a bubble. I mean, what this movie is trying to do is burst a bubble, basically, and give a reason for why we need to take back control in some areas.
You know, it is. I believe it's true that for every permaculturalist that is very keen, like I am, on the bricks, I think that there are 3 to 10 people that are more keen on this kind of thing, that are more keen on, like, what's wrong with the world, blow up the Fed, you know, whatever else. All of these things, you know, we got to fix the problems kind of a thing, as opposed to the idea of, like, you know what, if you just focus on the bricks, then it fixes the problems. And then you don't have to think about the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway.
Well, I do think this provides more knowledge and basis for the bricks.
I think that this is some stuff that can be talked about in the Meaningless Drivel Forum. And as long as people keep it really respectful of each other and try not to get too preachy and too beating other people with sticks kind of a thing. But I think overall I would much rather that people talked about the bricks. People talk about hookah culture, alternative energy, you know, rocket mass heaters, you know.
And what they're doing to buy and invest responsibly, you know, somewhat. Sort of? Borderline?
Maybe borderline.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you like this sort of thing, don't talk about it at permies.com. But if you like permaculture, you know, the bricks part of permaculture, by all means, please come on by permies.com where we talk about not this stuff, but we do talk about homesteading and permaculture all the time.